Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face.
Yeah, sure. That's what you do.
That's wild, dude.
Jacob seen that shit?
I don't think so.
That's like, what's his name? Who used to draw fucking like Captain America with his gigantic chest?
Oh, Rob Liefeld?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would be like, his chest is like out here, and then he's like looking right here. And his head's like tiny.
Yeah. It was tight. Like, somebody drew, like, an anatomical version of what that looked like, and his, like, rib cage is all stupid, and his organs are all gigantic.
Yeah, it's worse than the Barbie proportions, substantially.
Yeah, yeah. Or some of the Spider-Man stuff was always like, those aren't even fucking real muscles, dude. That's
right. Spider-Man didn't really have any muscles.
What? He was drawn by...
He was a gangly little bitch.
Don't do this. Stupid. Don't do this.
What?
I ain't never read a comic
not
in your
true,
life.
And you don't fucking... If you had looked at Todd McFarlane's shit when he was in his prime on Spider-Man before going to do Spawn at Image, like, it was the coolest shit I've ever looked at that age. Like, that and Jim Lee doing X-Men.
He's holding up fucking
You were looking at that. I was looking
shit.
At pornos, dude. That was
I was
cooler.
Looking at dudes, cartoon dudes in spandex because I'm a man.
I was looking at grown men in spandex, dude.
You were. You were looking at real men in real junk.
Real
be a man. Look at assholes in porn.
So, you know, it's real like, muscly man.
It's basically like you're more of like a biologist, and I was like, you know, like a art, like into art, and you were like into biology. You wanted to see actual animals fucking actual beasts.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
I wanted cartoon beasts.
Fucking each other.
Fucking each other in midair with powers.
Hell yeah.
Got him.
They got the most powers, dude.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes Podcast, episode 360. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. Yo soy Maddy ding dong.
Different. Buenos noches, Maddy. Little. Slingy dingy.
Yellow.
This is Ree
Schlingied here.
And let me be the first to
recommend
to you to normalize heterosexual butt fucking.
There we go.
Finally said it.
You know what they say about the young. Yeah.
You know what they say about the young. So, well, I don't know why that goes with that. So when was, I don't want to normalize it yet.
When was the first time you heterosexual butt fucked?
He hasn't done it yet. I've been.
But
you know
he's
what?
Trying to
if
normalize.
You want to hear this and other tales, you might want to subscribe to Patreon, where people speak at length about their attempts.
Right off the kick?
For butt fucking.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, putting Patreon at the beginning is probably a pretty good idea. That way, you know, we can give them the in at the beginning. That way, like, you know, we're luring them in with the treat versus, like, turning them off with the actual show before then being like, hey, come and give us more.
It's also an opportunity on the front end to tell everyone listening and that has been listening that we appreciate you listening.
That's true. We do.
I definitely appreciate you on my front end.
There's actual
crickets outside the house
that's
on that
good.
One. Damn.
That's pretty good.
Oh boy. So
how you been?
Yeah,
I'm tired.
Same. It's hot as fuck.
All three of us are tired.
Yes. I was trying to take a nap before I came over here, but I just kept sweating. I woke up in like a little pool of sweat.
You don't do good when it gets warm,
dude. It's not even that warm. It's just fucking humid. It's disgusting. Feel like the sweat running down your sides, and like you just breathe, and it's like, oh, now I'm sweating.
It's not the heat. It's the humidity.
It's the humanity. Yeah.
Oh, the humanity.
What's going on with you, Jorge?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing good.
George just, you know, had to deal with a little bit of lawn stuff, you know, a little bit of manual labor.
We got hoodwinked. We got hosed, Charlie.
Well, you knew we were getting hoodwinked.
That's true.
Because you had already been hoodwinked.
Well, see, here's the thing.
He was in the process of winking the hood.
These motherfuckers said they were coming with four dudes.
They usually
even
come
if
with
they
four
came
dudes.
With four dudes, it took six dudes.
Yeah.
Well, it took. I mean, It took us, and then whatever the fuck.
Oh. I mean, it took me and Rhett.
No, bro, you didn't do shit.
Hey, dude, I did. I was an integral part. You were on
the literal trampoline.
Started getting in the trap. I was like, not right now. Don't go in there.
This motherfucker owes me. Yeah, dude, you trampolining, being a fucking cheerleader.
You know, I saw you guys trying to move that, and like it was unsuccessful until I joined in, and then it's like, hey, how about we get this way, and then it's in the truck.
This motherfucker and his revisionist history. I don't.
He did it out there, and I said, I called it out.
I did it out there,
and now he's doing it with an audience.
It's absurd.
It's fucking unacceptable.
It is.
I was the one. I was the one. I got that moved.
I was the one.
I got that moved. Just saying, you know, couldn't have done it without me. You're welcome.
Thank you, crickets. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's not They're true. Singing my That's praises. Not true. They're out there singing my praises. They're like, he did that shit. I seen it. Stupid. There's to say I saw it.
Crickets aren't even back there, dummy.
You know why we're here?
So all three of us are sleepy. Why are you sleepy, Matt?
I don't know. I haven't worked all week, so like.
Oh, I'm not sleepy. I'm.
I'm yeah. Physically,
I'm just tired.
Physically tired.
Because
working out and the heat and Kat waking me up at 5:30 every morning. But that's about it.
But you love him.
Her, yeah.
Her.
She's fucking perfect.
You assumed.
She doesn't even like do anything. She just lays there existing, and I'm like, why are you so fucking cute? I squee. I literally squee.
I'm sleepy because yesterday, hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
And I took a trip up to the Aero Theater in Santa Monica to see a theatrical showing of Prey in the Comanche. And
is that the only place it was playing yesterday?
Yeah.
Damn.
And I didn't know Dan Trachtenberg was going to be there.
Is that like Michelle Trachtenberg's dad, dude?
It's the dude who did 10 Cloverfield Lane. And,
oh, that's tight.
And the fucking video game episode of Black Mirror where it had Kurt Russell's son playtest.
Ah.
That's good. You know he directed that one? Mm-hmm. That's dope.
So what you're saying is he can do no wrong.
Not so far. And, well, I don't want to say that about... Well, you know what they say about the new
episode. You know what they say about the boomies.
We're going to do Prey and then a Predator 2 Patreon after this episode.
But, I'm more excited to watch Predator 2 than I am to watch Prey.
That's you don't need to say that until you've seen them because...
Well, it's, you know, foreshadowing. I'm excited to see Predator 2.
Have you been to the Aero Theater before?
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
It's where they have Beyond Fest. And all that. And I definitely want to go to that, honestly. And I became like a member last night, which was dope. Because now I'm a member.
You've always been a member.
His throbbing member. His
throbbing manhood.
The capacity was like 417, right around there. And it was sold out and they had to turn people away.
Aww.
And I was glad that we fucking... Because we drove from San Diego like... goofballs.
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
And well, I will say neither one of us left pissed, and that's all I'm gonna say. And it was a good time, but that meant we got home at like 3 a.m and I had a 9 a.m group. And
3 a.m. why 3 a.m what time did the movie start?
The movie was at 10 p.m
Fuck that.
Yeah, dude. And it's more fuck like 10:30 because there's a shitload of people seating. And it was in the Comanche language. And they had like an actual native lady come out who's a producer on the film. It's funny too because there's this huge, as they do, the incels and the alt-right people have gotten pissed that there's Indians and that there's a girl and that she fights a predator.
They're like, look, if there's going to be Indians in this film, we need to oppress them.
Yeah.
Well, they're just pissed that they're shown to do anything capably. There's also some fur traders. That are not good people and shocking, right? Fur traders that went and fucked up, you know, they were not good people, and that offends white people when they see that sometimes. But the whole thing is that like she's a Mary Sue and all this kind of thing. But well, I'll let you guys watch.
All right.
Yeah. It's just save it for the it's show.
Crazy.
Save it for the show.
Save it for the buddy. Show, buddy.
But yes, cool. Yes,
cool.
Yes, yes.
Calm.
But that's why I'm sleepy.
Hey, Matthew.
Yeah, buddy.
Have you watched or played anything?
I watched a little movie yesterday called Beetlejuice. It was done by Tim Burton from way back in the day. It's fun. It still holds up, kind of. Yeah.
I remember
Beetlejuice.
When it would get to the Harry Belafonte dinner sequence,
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid, it just...
freaked me the fuck out.
It freaked me the fuck out. And then,
it does something to you.
Yeah, and then once I got used to it, I'm like, it's funny the logic of that movie when you're a kid. You're like, well, of course that's what happens. You know, like the Harry Belafonte song comes on and this part happens. And
yeah.
That's what happens when you play Harry Belafonte. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
You don't do that.
It's honestly been at least 20 years since I've seen that movie. And like, I was surprised at how well paced it is. Like, it gets right into it. It's like, here's the couple. 2 minutes later, they're dead. And then it's like 2 minutes later, oh, fuck, we're dead. And then they start like learning about being dead. And then the new couple's already moving in. They introduce like the sandworms and like the alternate dimension kind of thing right away.
Oh, you watch Dune too, dude?
Fuck, no, I wish. I do want to watch Dune. There's been a bunch of movies I've been wanting to watch lately, and I'm not.
I would like Dune.
I don't think I would.
You'd like, I like the book. I like the and book. Not the movie. That's the interesting part.
But I have been wanting to watch that Everything Everywhere movie.
You should.
I think it's streaming right now, and I just saw it's at. They're still showing it at a couple theaters.
Yeah, they are.
They re-released it. It's the highest grossing A24 movie ever. I think it made about $70 million domestic, which is huge.
I keep seeing like a bunch of YouTube videos about it popping up on my feed, and I'm like, I want to watch those, but I don't want to watch those.
Watch yet. The film, dude. It's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that. I watched the first episode of the new series of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh.
I liked it. There was an episode that was just about Beavis, which felt really weird.
Experimental.
But now instead of just doing music videos, because they still do the music videos, but now they do like... I guess like YouTube videos, like TikTok videos.
Well, it makes sense.
And they do commentary on them.
In a way, like the... them doing the music videos back in the 90s, those are the first prototype reaction videos.
Yeah. When like the way of the music video is gone. Like people don't really make music. They make music videos, but it's like they put them on YouTube and then it's like,
right.
But they did a reaction video to this girl getting into Harvard. It's like her and her mom like freaking out about the Harvard acceptance.
Oh, that's a great idea that they do it like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And she's like, the mom is hugging her. And she's like, yeah, choke her. This will teach you to get into Harvard. So you don't deserve to get into Harvard if you can't even kick your own mom's ass. So I watched that. I've been watching more Food Wars. I played a little bit of Dead by Daylight recently, and I found out that there's now a Dead by Daylight dating sim. Right? Ah! So into it! I'm going to play the fuck out of it. I'm going to fuck all of those killers.
I saw it pop up on my Steam, like, recommended, but this is also after I had seen all the furry porn games, and I was like, is this just more fucking furry porn shit? But no, it's
Dead by Daylight, dude.
It's Dead by Daylight.
It just so happens that one of them is dressed like a bunny, and she's the one I'm going to fuck first because she's a big buff lady.
I wonder if there is like a, I'm going to say it, if there's a metagame like underneath the dating sim, kind of like...
actual fucking?
No. Kind of like
Doki Doki Literature Club?
Yeah, Doki Doki Literature Club. Like, I wonder if it's going to be like that, because that would be really, really fucking cool.
All of the characters have, like, really deep backstory and lore, like, associated with them, so I could definitely see that. I just really hope they show us some killer dick. Like, because some of those killers...
They won't show actual dick,
bro. Why don't they show you some victim dick?
I mean, well, because the survivors, it's like you're playing as a survivor, you're seducing the killer. I just want to play as Fang Men and seduce the Huntress.
Naturally.
That's what I want.
Oh, a little actual scissoring.
Yeah. A little Russian Chinese scissoring, bro. Let me get some of that fallout.
Good one.
And then I started watching SpongeBob and Adventure Time. Aww. And I just like have been watching a lot of these like old like 10-minute cartoon shows that I can digest quickly. Yeah.
Did you watch Sicario, dude?
No.
You should, dude.
That sounds like something I would not enjoy. You were talking about it, and I'm like, that sounds like a snooze fest.
But at least you would not like it for your own reasons.
You wouldn't come up with reasons that are completely unbelievably unsound for not liking it. You would say it's a snooze fest. You wouldn't say something like, it was shot okay.
I mean, I might.
That's kind of not objectively even close to accurate.
And am I ever objective?
It's true, you're not.
No, you're not, and that's okay. But other people think they're being that way.
This is a person you care about deeply, right?
Very deeply.
You think about them a lot.
A lot.
Anyway, yeah, no, I've been playing some Fortnite. That's about it.
Have been playing some Fortnite.
I'm going to go see...
you think a lot.
Oh, I did ring announcing for Fist Combat. That was fun.
How did that go?
That was real fun. Lots of blood.
Lots of fisting.
I got some people that recognized me, remembered me. Some woman came up to me and interrupted me and my friend afterwards to tell me I was very handsome. And I blushed. I blushed quite a bit.
Was the homie Rick there?
No, he wasn't. I didn't tell him about it until last minute. And then he just said, hell yeah, good luck.
First, you mentioned the guy on the pre-show.
Homie was there with you last night?
So my friend Amanda went.
Beautiful.
Amanda, I refer to her affectionately as Wrestling Girl. Because that's what our entire friendship is built on, is nice. Wrestling. She's super cool, super good friend. And then this guy, Jackson, that I met, that we work out with, he's a photographer for USA Today, came out and he took some really flattering shots of ya boy.
Beautiful.
I'll be doing that again on Saturday, August 20th, if you're in San Diego. And then Saturday, August 21st... I'm going to a K-pop show. I'm going to go see Luna and Stacy. And
you're going to a cake pop show?
I'm very excited. I fucking wish.
I love cake pops. Don't forget about Coheed, dude.
Coheed and Cambria next weekend, dude.
Got it.
That's hella dope.
I'm obligated to
yeah. Do you want to suck, guys?
Do you want me suck, guys?
Because
I can do it just fine.
Oh, yeah. And then I went and saw Newfound Glory.
It's a joke that you guys liked him, right? It's like a thing. It's like a bit.
No, I love Coheed.
That's what I thought. Okay, good. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, I went to Coheed and Cambria. Or not Coheed and Cambria. I went to Newfound Glory wearing a BTS shirt. And I was like, damn, I feel... Like a pedophile.
Like the worst person in the world.
Yeah, but dude, I got so many comments on my BTS shirt. It was dope.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Like good ones?
Yeah, yeah. Women making the little heart at me from across the room.
For fuck's sake.
It was dope.
God.
Feels like you're part of a little club.
Except there's not a little club. It's like a
huge club.
It's like billions.
It's worldwide. It's army. That's what it is.
Because you love the mainstream, dude.
I mean, I love BTS, dude. I'm going to get a little BTS tattoo right here.
And as you're fond of saying, nothing and no one is more popular than them on the world right now.
That's true.
Love the mainstream.
That's true. Nobody's bigger than BTS. Nobody. Except Alex Jones.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's some great shit.
the schadenfreude that I'm experiencing during this trial has just, warmed. It has warmed my soul. That whole bit when they were like, Mr. Jones... Would it surprise you to find out that your lawyers sent us all of your text messages? And he's like, huh? What? Oh, yeah, that's your little Perry Mason moment, huh? I'm like, oh, I love it. Oh, okay, it's so good.
Hold on here, though. So what do you think is going on there real quick?
What you mean?
What do you think? Why do you think they did that?
Whomst?
His lawyers.
Well, they fucked up. So what they did is they were sending, they were supposed to send.
You buy that?
Yeah, because his lawyers are incompetent.
That's a little beyond. They sent all of his texts.
Well, they sent
the fucking.
They sent basically the wrong link.
The other lawyer even said and I tried to tell them, and they seemed like they didn't care. And as of 2 days ago, it's free and clear in my possession.
Yeah,
check this out.
I do agree with you that there's some conspiracy.
Well, there are people that there are people that think he's a CIA plant.
Alex Jones.
Thank you very much. So here's something that is common, regardless of what you believe in or not, okay, in espionage, is to spread counter-intel.
Your boy Haesan Piker believes this.
Oh, well, because it's to spread counter-intel and counter-information. That's espionage one and one, dude. And so Alex Jones is point in case for this, and it's like, yeah, spew all this garbage, do all this trash, and then what it does is it discredits any kind of consideration that any sort of conspiring goes on at any level of government, which is, of course, fucking ridiculous because conspiring goes on in every facet of human existence.
Conspiring is the only thing that happens in government.
Thank you. So.
Thank you.
If you say that, you like Alex Jones.
All in the White House. Do you want me to lie?
Because yes. I can do it, baby.
Yes, lie. So that's what you get elected for.
Bro, I do love Alex Jones.
In any case. So now that this is all coming to a head,
It's like, okay, now we have to fucking trash your reputation and completely discredit this whole thing. And so that anyone that comes around and says any of this stuff, it's already been further. You look like a fucking total buffoon. And also, why would he go along with it, right? Why would he go along with it?
Go along with...
If he is a CIA plant, and now they know that he's aware part of the thing is that they have to publicly trash him for saying this Sandy Hook bullshit for 10 years, right? Why would he go along with it?
Why would he go along with the Sandy Hook stuff, like the conspiracy of it?
Why would he go along with the idea? If he's a CIA plant, that means he's complicit in the idea, right? Mm-hmm. So why would he go along with it at this point? Why wouldn't he come out and say, no, I'm a CIA plant?
Because why would he?
Because why would he?
Exactly. And also, here's the clinker. Who would believe him? It's over. See? There's no way he's... Dude, like, there's no way his fucking lawyers sent this to the fucking... Like, consider this case. Who it is and what it is. They literally sent 2 years of fucking texts. Like, dude. I don't buy it for a second.
Well, I mean, if
I think that I know the CIA is competent enough at their fucking job to spread disinformation.
Well, but that's supposing that the theory that he's a CIA agent is true, right?
Yeah, it's supposing that they do that at all.
But if it isn't, I could imagine a world where a dumbass lawyer would send the wrong link to another lawyer.
True, and obviously this is all a theory. If I say like I know that I'm being a fucking dumbass like Alex Jones, but I'm hypothesizing, I'm thinking about a possibility here, right? Now, do you think, though, Jorge, that it's possible that the CIA has plants that spread disinformation and things to discredit things?
I think...
Well, there you go. That's it. That's all I want to hear from you. Thank you.
I think that, like, the Alex Jones thing is too overt.
Not this one. Just it, broadly speaking. No, you think they do it at all?
That's how
they stage coup d'etat.
Yeah, of course. But I think the Alex Jones stuff is too...
Like, you like Sicario, right?
I do a lot.
They do a coup d'etat on that. They
so many problems with Sicario, dude.
They kidnap the fucking guy, and then the other cartel thinks it's the cartel that kidnapped him, but it was the fucking CIA. That's called a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. You're a conspiracy, dude.
So if you believe in Sicario, then you need to believe in this.
Well, and also, it's this idiot's birthday tomorrow.
Who?
Yay, it is.
This idiot.
Why are you bringing up his fucking birthday?
Because he wants us to.
I know. Happy birthday.
Is it 40? Are you 40? I'll be 40. Fuck, because I'm right behind your ass. Mm-hmm.
God. I was the first to 40.
I wish you were right behind my ass. Technically, Chris Franco was the first to 40. He's like, 2 weeks older than you. Just saying.
Why are you mentioning him?
Because he was a part of the show.
You know what Chris Franco is now, right?
A cuck?
A mason.
He is.
Alex Jones. A mason. The coincidence? I think not.
Well, you got to lift the rolls of fucking artificial turf the day before your birthday.
That's right. Yeah. You got Happy a good workout.
Birthday. Now that you've mentioned it, come lift with me for my birthday, dude.
When?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't want to lift.
No, I do want to lift, but that tomorrow's preparation day before. Hi, Sophia. I already said that. Go on vacation to Idlewild.
Beautiful.
Did you ever see that Outkast movie? Gonna be on vacation. Idlewild, dude?
You know what he's going to be doing on that vacation? Not lifting.
I'll be lifting my legs while hiking.
Above your head to get pegged?
Maybe. I'll be putting my legs behind my head.
He's like, that's heterosexual butt fucking.
I'll be doing froggy style, and I'll be the frog.
Yeah, that's dope. See, frog pumps.
I gave you nowhere to go.
I mean,
bro, now what? Now where you gotta go? I'm already the frog.
You are the frog. So since you're feeling feeling froggy, bro, why don't you go ahead and jump to what you've done this last week?
That grainy, sexy voice.
You are the frog. That. What have you watched?
Prey. And How To with John Wilson.
Who's John Wilson?
John Wilson is another friend of Nathan Fielder, and Nathan Fielder executive produces this guy's show.
Another friend of mine, dude?
Dude, he goes around making these like do-it-yourself documentaries around New York. And at first it's a little bit of adjustment because once you get off like a Nathan Fielder fucking binge, it's like what could compare, seriously? Like when I finished... when Sophia and I finished
Nathan For You,
I was kind of sad. But this guy is brilliant, and it's got 2 seasons in, very highly regarded. It came out right around the start of the pandemic, and it's on HBO Max for now because there's a lot of shit going on with HBO and Warner Brothers and all that.
HBO just bought Discovery. They're going to make it like the same app.
Yeah, exactly. And they're getting rid of a lot of shit. Oh, like they got rid of Raised by Wolves, that show Jorge was watching.
Have you guys seen, it's on HBO Max. It's like, it's a pirate show called like...
Oh, that's Taika Waititi.
Yeah, it's got red in the title. It's
our,
like...
Our flag means death.
Yeah,
I saw two episodes with, and we liked it.
So dude, I'm into it. Rhys Darby is fucking... I love Rhys Darby, and he's like the main character in that. He's like the gentleman pirate.
And it's like, it doesn't come out of the gate like it, but then it gets like within 20 minutes, starts getting gradually gay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, by gay, I mean oh, literally gay. Yeah. And then it's like, starts leaning into it, and it's like, yeah, okay.
Fuck it reminded me of Norseman. Was it what it's called? Norseman? That comedy show that was on Netflix for a while about, like, the Vikings, and, like, one of them's gay, and he just wants to put on, like, plays and stuff instead of raiding. And
was that the cartoon one?
No.
Okay, never mind.
You should watch Norseman. It's great.
Never even heard of it. But other than that, honestly... Just been prepping for this vacation, and yeah, praying How To with John Wilson. Oh, I did watch that fucking...
You've been praying, dude?
I've been... That's P-R-E-Y, and when I do pray, I don't pray to change God. I pray to change me.
Mm. You can't change God, dude. God exactly. is perfect. He exactly. doesn't need to change.
Right?
But I'm talking solely about the Christian God.
But think of the biofeedback process that occurs when you kneel and like do the prayer thing. Think of what happens practically, dude. You know what I mean?
Pray at the altar of my balls, dude.
I would, if I you could.
Heard it. You heard it. You can. I'll let you.
I'll allow it.
I'm consenting.
Yeah, man. I mean, seriously, though, you are getting pretty serious. You know what I mean? I saw that picture and was like, damn, I can't like this. You know what I mean? I better not give him any support. That one that motherfucker from USA Today took.
Oh, yeah, that was a good picture.
Like, I'm like, God damn, bitch. Yeah. What are you trying to do here? God damn! I'm
trying to get to everybody.
I better focus on my work or something. This is crazy.
I mean, I did say
I'm gonna want to fuck them.
I said last week some of my best friends are whores. I'm trying to convert the other ones.
Okay, wow. You did say that last week.
I did.
Wow.
Dropped the name last week too.
What about you, Jorge? What you been what you been watching?
Let's see. We
did you finish The Boys?
No, because we're not. I'm not trying to mainline the motherfucker, right? Because it's like,
dog, how am I gonna talk to you when you're not even done?
It's because like if I watch it all in one night or like a it's we
so instead we watch 9 hours of Survivor.
So we just got to the to fucking Black Noir's like face origin stuff. It's pretty good. But then we started
Which one?
Well, I'm not the first one then. Mm. Then we started watching the show called Flight Attendant, which is on HBO Max. It's pretty good. So it's she's a flight attendant who is an alcoholic who ends up sleeping with one of the passengers, and then he dies. He gets killed, and it's her trying to figure out like what happened that night.
And then Denzel Washington flies the plane upside down while he's fucked up,
fucking in the lake.
Right? Samuel Jackson is like, I've had it with these motherfucking corpses.
And then Tom Hanks rolls in and fucking lands the plane. Dude, it's totally.
And then Wesley Snipes rolls up.
That's the reference I was making, dude.
I know, dude. Hey, dude, I know that one, dude.
You know that one, dude?
It's when the birds are coming in front of the plane and they do a simulation like 9 times.
Yeah, dude.
Did you see that one?
What's that?
Sully.
Yeah, I saw Sully. I remember that part.
Dude, they do the simulation and it's like every time it's all birds. And it shows the birds. Anyway, let's go on.
Yeah, so anywho, the boys.
The boys.
The flight attendant. And I think that's it.
I watched and Super Jail too. Some Super Jail.
Oh, Super Jail, so good.
That's on the HBO Max.
Yeah.
I did forget one on Netflix. It's one of those docuseries. It's not
of course.
It's not as good as that one that we both watched recently, Matt. That girl in the picture one.
Oh yeah, that shit's good.
This was the most hated man on the internet.
Oh, I did watch that.
Woo!
Ooh, with Hunter Moore.
Hunter Moore.
I did so okay.
And Is Anyone Up?
So I used to go on Is Anyone Up all the time, but
I'm watching this. I'm like, you were part of this, weren't
you? I didn't know. I had stopped when it got to be all about like the girls and like ruining people's lives. I was on it when it was all the dudes and bands and shit. And I was like, yeah, who's getting fucking taken down a peg today?
Well, didn't they, is that where Pete Weiss's dick showed up?
Yeah, dude.
And all that.
Well, he was either there or on Buddy Head.
That's Pete Wentz.
Pete Wentz, too.
Yeah, fuck Pete Wentz. Yeah.
It was either him, it was either there or Buddy Head, but it was like, yeah, there was just like all kinds of dudes and bands like just getting their dicks shown. And it's like, yep, haha, sucks to be you, nerd.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, though.
Yeah, it was pretty tight.
I watched like all four episodes back to back, honestly, while I was playing this game on my phone. That's what those docuseries are good for. That's premium playing game on your phone and like decompressing and just doing stupid shit.
Dude, I installed some shelves in my kitchen just so I could put my phone in front of the sink while I'm doing dishes, and I sat there doing dishes while I watched that shit. It was perfect.
That's a lot of dishes, dude.
Yeah, do you know about Hunter Moore, dude?
I am familiar with Hunter Moore.
He's not good. And that whole scene didn't seem very good. And I will double down that I don't like that whole fucking scene. And I'm glad I missed that scene. Cause it sucked.
Just making a bunch of noise over here.
Yeah, what you got going on over there?
Stuff.
Dumb stuff for an idiot.
Dumb stuff for some stupid idiot.
Idiot.
That's my favorite thing now. Anything gets said, idiot.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break unless there's some news we should get to, which I don't think there is.
The only news is that you don't have any fucking Pokemon by your house, and it's irritating.
Hey, speaking of which, it's not news, but I was at a grocery store recently. Imagine that, right?
Imagine.
And no, it's not the Seinfeld portion of the fucking show or anything. But it had, like, the animal crackers on this end cap.
Bro, you can't just call them that, dude.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I don't know what you're saying, but animal crackers, what, fucker?
There he goes again.
There he goes, dude. You can't just say that word.
Cracker-ass motherfucker. Goddamn. Crack-ass cracker.
We can cut this, right?
But it's on this end cap, and the end cap is inexplicably, like, it's Pokemon-themed.
Hell yeah.
Which
yeah.
is cool. Dope. I'm like, okay, I'm down with this. But why didn't they go all the way and replace Barnum and Bailey's circus animal crackers, which no kid knows what the fuck they are, and it's antiquated because the circus no longer even exists.
That's not true. The circus totally exists.
The Barnum Bailey
no animals anymore.
Did Barnum and Bailey go under?
Yeah, they went under. They went bankrupt.
I saw a circus.
Because they couldn't abuse fucking like, elephants anymore.
Open your mind real wide.
Quaid. No, I know, but like, me. No, just recently, off of the 5 in Irvine, I saw there was a circus right off the freeway.
Replace the plan. Replace Barnum and Bailey's circus fucks with Pokemon animal crackers.
I'm down.
So I'd why?
You'd make a fortune. Kids would buy them up in an instant.
Fuck yeah, you would. And it would permanently be like you're keeping them alive, just like the fucking animal crackers kept the circus alive. They're still fucking making the circus crackers. It makes no sense, Jorge. Who are they keeping them for? Who wants them now?
Old people?
Fuck old people.
Old white bitches.
Well, old white bitches don't need, nor do they deserve fucking cookies or crackers.
Well, it's mostly crackers that eat those things.
You get what I'm saying, though? Like, just replace.
You know what they say about the young.
You know what they say about the crackers.
Anyway, they're missing out on a fucking a marketing blitz of just Pokemon animal crackers.
Maybe there's some because Nintendo and
Nabisco. Ooh, they should merge. Nintendo-bisco.
Ninbisco.
Ninbisco.
You're gonna be gone.
If you were stoned, you would have fucking been on board with that, Matt, but whatever.
Dude, you're gonna be gone on Friday. And we were talking about next time Knocked Loose comes through town, we gotta go. I don't know who they're playing with.
They're gonna
be at North Island Credit Amphitheater on fucking Friday. I don't know who with.
Stupid ass name for a
I was about to say,
it's like, always.
I don't even want to see Knocked Loose at North Island Credit Union.
It's Coors Amphitheater to
God
me.
It's much better if like Snoop Dogg is playing at like Pechanga. Knocked Loose at fucking. You know, he's like, what's up, motherfuckers? The credit union.
Yeah, what's up, North Island Credit Union Amphitheater?
Like, fucking the SDSU open air, like, it used to just be the open air amphitheater. But now it's like the fuck Cricket Wireless. It's like, fuck, get out of here.
Yeah, dude, fuck off.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the fuck are the Suicide Boys, Gray Day, Ski Mask, The Slump God.
Ski Mask is a fucking dope band name.
Is this shit?
Gotta be hip hop.
That sounds pretty
These
good.
These guys look like human
That's
trash.
The kind of name where even if they sucked, I'd come back being like, there's this band Ski Mask.
I've got a shirt, dude.
It was pretty good.
I don't know if that's Ski Mask or they look like trash, bro.
That's the idea.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, Rhett.
Yeah. Guess what, dudes?
If you're not trying to fuck, get the fuck out of my spot.
Ho. Treacherous hoes.
Treacherous Dang. Ass.
Dang. Did we find our new favorite?
Yeah. Fuck, ho.
Fuck, ho. Hey, he's much more sophisticated than that.
That's dope, dude. That's hella dope.
Yeah, that's just one snippet of Ski Mask.
Ski the Mask. Slump Lord.
The slump. Good Lord.
Hell yeah. The We're slump lord, dude.
That.
Fuck yeah.
Bizak. That's what they say.
Bizak.
I don't give a fuck, ho.
Get the fuck off my sack.
Yeah, that's dope, dude. That's the kind of hype I need.
So the Who Goes There podcast, watch 2022's Nope, directed and written by Jordan Peele. If you wait for just 1 second,
fuck you, dude. You fuck you. You
Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, Brandon Perea, Michael Wincott, Steven Yeun, Ren Schmidt, Keith David, Devin Gray, Terry Notary, Barbie Ferreira,
Terry Bozzio.
Totally.
Dude, he's dope.
That's basically it. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know.
Did he play for Dream Theater? Who did he play for?
Zappa. Zappo! What? Go ahead, Jorge. Well, what'd you think of the film, right?
Nope. For me?
Is dope.
Is nope. A nope. Just kidding. It's dope.
Okay.
Do I think it's perfect?
Nope. We're going to be doing that a lot tonight.
Do I think it's bad?
Nope.
Dog. Stupidest review ever. No. For me,
Hey. Nope.
For me, this guy is 3 for 3. and I don't think this is as good as like Get Out. But I like this one maybe better. I definitely like it better than Us. But I'd have to watch it again and a few more times perhaps to really see if it hangs together. Because parts of it, it's so ambitious and it's so much getting thrown where I'm like, is this just incoherent? But then it's like, no, it's like deliberate. And it's another one where, you know, what am I missing here? And I'm obviously missing stuff, like with the shoe thing, which we'll get to later. Like, I don't know why the shoe's...
We could talk about it.
Sticking straight up.
We could talk about it, dude.
And I don't know if it fucking matters, but I think the movie's beautifully shot. It has fucking Christopher Nolan's current go-to cinematographer, Hoyt van Hoytema.
Hoyt van Hoytema.
Beautiful. Gorgeous nighttime cinematography. And it's like a lot of misdirection in this movie. The whole marketing campaign has you thinking one thing. And it goes to another. And when it gets where it's going, it's not like a shock, but it's also the last thing I would have expected. I think the performances are really good. I think the thematic stuff is interesting. There's a flashback sequence, which is my favorite sequence in the film, which I think is pretty bonkers and probably, up to this point, probably my favorite sequence in a genre film this year.
Okay.
Little homie? That's it. That's what I got so far.
Little homie, what about you?
Yeah, what Rhett said.
For real?
Yeah. I don't think I like it more than Us. I think it's definitely too long. Maybe like 20, 30 minutes. I have some ideas as to what the themes are for once.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It really stirs we'll that stuff
so
up.
So I got that. Cool. I was pleasantly surprised that it actually was an alien movie.
It's
not spoilers. It's in the trailers.
Fucking spoilers.
Nope.
It's like clearly in the trailers that it's an alien movie. Yeah, but I'm glad that it was an alien movie and not like a metaphor for an alien movie.
Dude?
I mean, yeah, dude.
Maybe. Or is it just another animal that's being exploited, dude?
I mean, like, that's possible.
And which are basically aliens.
We'll get into that.
We'll get into that,
yeah. That's like the whole idea that, like, we know as little about the skies as we do about the oceans, dude. But that's like a whole thing.
It's like there's a thin line between a disposable workforce and a disposable animal workforce.
You know, and like he's, I know we've said it before, but like his timing is impeccable. There's a scene in a barn where like he really, really knows how to like hold a shot for just enough time to like get you to go through like this wide array of emotions where you're like so conditioned where, and like he does this a lot too, where there's like shots where a character is sitting in a car and the character is like very off towards the side of the frame and the entire like driver's side window takes up the entire shot. And you're so conditioned to be looking in that window and waiting for something to pop up like in the background. And it never does. And if something does pop up, it's like well after
it's unrelated.
You've well like stopped expecting it to pop up.
So but they subvert your expectations.
Yep. There you go. You know, that hasn't been used in a while.
Yeah.
Subverting expectations. There's some gorgeous shots in here.
There's also, I'm sorry, but the trauma that he has from losing his father and the way he lost his father, and he has to weaponize the trauma.
Mm-hmm. Right? Weaponize, well, they both weaponize the trauma in different ways, you know? Right. And
so does the monkey.
Yeah. And, you know, it's good. I think it says a lot of things about, like, Hollywood and the industry. And, like, you know, we'll...
voyeurism.
We'll get around to that.
So, we watched...
Survivor, we know.
We watched Get Out and Us in sort of preparation for this film.
Oh, look at you. What do you do, like, a podcast or something?
Yeah, right.
Meanwhile, he didn't, like, mention that when he was talking about what he
because
watched.
Because it wasn't relevant to the fucking review. Mm. And if you hadn't mentioned it would have been cooler, bro. Mm. Oh!
Whatever you want to go with, bro.
So, this is my favorite of the three by far. Get Out, pretty damn good. Us, not quite as good, but man, did I have entirely too much fun with this movie.
Yeah.
The ending sequence. Fucking gorgeous. That fucking alien was giving me like annihilation. Oh, fucking annihilation under the vibes, skin. Under the skin vibes. I'm like when you see that fucker unfurl itself, I'm
And they got far away from the whole variation on the xenomorph thing we've seen a million times, right?
Dude. Let's get to it. Cause I mean, not that it's like, oh, I fucking knew it. I can't claim that on this one. But when they got to the it's not, you know, it's not aliens, but it is the alien bit. It was so good, man. It was so good.
Where the spaceship is the alien.
Yeah.
It's like a giant manta ray in the sky. And it is, there is a lot of, as certain people mentioned, sky jaws dynamics going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing little bits of the thing pop out between the clouds. And it kind of makes me... It's something that was so effective and so eerie where I'm like, why did it take over 100 years for this to happen in movies like this?
Yeah.
It's really weird.
You know, you sent the link over of this... I don't even want to mention their fucking name. It's this other... I guess another podcast or another fucking YouTubers. But, they were saying some outlandish fucking things, and one of the main one was like, well, like, you know, why does Jordan Peele continue to use like his blackness as like the point of his movies? You know, he grew up affluent, and it's like, okay, first off, fuck you. Second off, It's okay that these are the subjects that he's exploring because it hasn't been explored well enough.
It's kind of like asking why I'm insisting on having a white person as a character in a story. It's like, that's his perspective.
Either way, right? Yeah,
like, whoa.
The idea that this film explores, like, the black cowboy is super fucking cool to me, man. Because there wasn't many of them.
Right.
I'm fucking in love with the idea from the get. And it's... really, really fun to me.
See, now
you're flowing
I'm conflating.
You're flowing into the thematic territory because I got a lot of stuff. He throws a lot of stuff at you visually.
Yep.
And a lot of references at you. And you can tell he's just having fun throwing references. And it's kind of like, I would be like, oh, it's pretentious. But it's like, no, they're not like the point of the movie. He's just having fun.
You mean like that Akira reference?
Like the Akira reference.
So shout out.
Fucking good.
And it's fucking cool because he's like, he's inverting things a little bit because like, it's like, okay, yeah, Akira, Japan. Okay, well, this is a black lady from a ranch doing the Akira thing. So fuck you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's got a Rage Against the Machine shirt and it's a Zapatistas on a shirt. And across the street from the fucking restaurant, there's a fucking Christian church. Well, but it's an iglesia. It's a Christian
and
church.
And moments like that, like specifically like the Rage Against the Machine shirt, like it's...
Oh,
it's,
I missed that.
It's a cool little detail that like we didn't need to hear him fucking listening to Rage in the fucking truck.
No, and check this shit out because I'm an autist. What? We have to take that out?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Well, you remember Rage Against the Machine talking about Fred Hampton?
Yeah.
Well, guess who played Fred Hampton in a fucking movie?
Yeah.
Who? The dude, Daniel Kaluuya.
Who's Fred Hampton?
Fred Hampton was the leader of the Black Panthers.
Ah.
He got fucking murdered. He got assassinated.
Yeah.
And that movie was fucking...
Was incredible.
That movie was great.
What movie was that?
What was it called?
You're both like, that movie's incredible. I don't remember what it's called, but it's great. I mean,
because
Black something and the something something.
Black something and the
Judas
something.
And the Black Messiah.
That.
Okay, that
I was
one.
Close. I didn't want to miss. You don't want to say the wrong stuff here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what they say
you
about
know
the
what
young.
They say about the young.
You know what they say about Black Judas.
There's that bit at the beginning, speaking of whiteness like that, which I am. But at the beginning of the movie, she does a joke about we always had skin in the game, and no one laughs except this white dude goes, huh?
I didn't get why that joke was supposed to be funny.
It's not funny, it's funny because there's a white dude who thinks it's funny, but he's the only one who laughs, so it's kind of like this guilty, like, oh, I was the only one who laughed, so that's bad.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that whole self-awareness. It's me.
My one criticism of the film is I think all the characters are done really well and acted really well with one exception. I do not like Fry's guy.
Fry's guy?
Oh, come on. The dude who shows up and just like,
Some of his scenes are decent, but for the most part, I'm like, I don't like this.
He was a little obnoxious.
I don't like this guy. And I think he's supposed to be.
He is supposed to be somewhat.
I just don't like. I don't like.
Tedious.
I don't like the actor's portrayal of said character.
Fair.
Maybe you don't like actors of that ethnicity.
I don't like brown people, dude. That's true.
But you are a brown person.
But I can also be.
White.
I can also self-hate.
That's true. That's your right, dude.
That's my right.
Okay. We all self-hate a little bit.
The thematic stuff too is like there's the, you know, again, he's throwing a lot of stuff at you. So you mentioned the black cowboy thing, and they were part of. I mean, yes, they were in the Old West, mm-hmm. but you don't hear about this narrative. But also the other one is you have this Asian guy in here, the guy from Minari, and like the guy who was on fucking Walking Dead, and he's made a very wise career shift in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so. Okay, what do the Asians have
Stephen
to do?
Stephen Young?
Yuen?
What do the Chinese particularly have to do with the Old West? Well, I don't know. My head immediately went to the fucking railroads.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? And so then I'm thinking about exploit. It's very like tangential, like the things are related by inferences. But I think, again, it's not like things aren't selected randomly. They're purposely selected. But anyway, where my head went to like the Old West and then building the railroads and about like exploitation and about again like, you know, all of those things. And so when they start incorporating slowly but surely, well, kind of off the bat with the horses, mm-hmm. this theme of animals being used as spectacle, because that's the other theme in this movie is about spectacle itself. You know, like it's referencing a lot of other movies. It's referencing like having spectacles in the testicles in the first place. And but yeah, the horses are exploited for their work and for their entertainment value. And then Then you go to this thing with the monkey and the shark.
I think it explores that, you know, that we all have the capacity to be cruel in some ways. Right. You know, obviously I'm not trying to conflate owning horses to slavery and like, you know, the railroad. No. But you know, I think what the idea is that, you know, as humans, we all have the capacity to be cruel to
each other,
to beings that, you know, that are alive,
that we deem as if it's within our control. Yeah, we deem that it's within our control, so it's ours to control, you know. And it's for our entertainment, it's for our amusement. You know what I mean? Like, what am I, a clown to you? Like, I'm here for your amusement? And that's basically the Sky Kaiju in this. He's like, what the fuck am I? I'm a clown to you?
I'm gonna eat you.
I'm, you're fucked.
Damn.
I got like a thing with, he had that connection with the monkey as a kid. So yeah. What I was picking up with this other thing, he has a connection to this thing. And
he thinks he does.
He thinks he does. But he must have, for a good while, to have some kind of working arrangement. Is he feeding this thing? Like,
he's feeding
horses.
That's why when, so I picked up on this, it was a really cool moment. So they've been selling him these horses.
Horses. Right?
The horses.
Yeah.
And if you remember in that scene where, you know, he's like, hey, can we like buy the fucking horses back?
You could have just gone to Burger King if you wanted horse meat.
Immediately, he changes the subject and he's like cool with like, oh, yeah, you want to see this fucking room? Like, because he's like, yeah, I've been feeding the fucking horses to a fucking alien. Like,
yeah,
let's forget about this. Let's forget about this whole you buying your horses back, because them is gone.
See, I had a different take on things. You guys were focusing a lot about like the cowboy stuff, and I was focusing more on like Hollywood in general.
Definitely.
And like, so I feel like a lot of the focus of this movie is more of like the people in Hollywood who don't get acknowledged for the hard work they do. The makeup crew, the cinematographers, the animal trainers, absolutely, you know, like people like that. And like the different dynamic,
the stuntmen,
the different dynamics behind the scenes. So like, if you notice the main guy, I forget his name. What's his name?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Well, in the movie.
He even has a shirt. His shirt is Crew. It says.
On yeah, it. But if you
for
notice,
fucking The Mummy, by the way.
Well, so, it was from the Scorpion King.
Yeah. Scorpion King,
which goes with the animal theme. And
so,
it's
but
a shitty
he's
movie, which
but
is
he's
great.
Always like, he always seems nervous. He's always looking down, you know.
And OJ.
OJ. And then the whole point of like the alien is like, don't look at it. Don't look it in its eye and you'll be fine. And like, so that alien is basically like Gwyneth Paltrow. Like that's the A-list star. So you're not allowed to interact with that star. Don't look
Hold
in the
up.
Eye.
Why are you bringing up Gwyneth Paltrow?
Because Gwyneth Paltrow is a diva. She's an egomaniac. You know, don't look her in her fucking eyes. So that's the thing. It's like, this guy is just like a horse trainer. That's, you know, that's the thing. And Steven Yeun, he was a child star who like, basically got swept aside after this traumatic thing.
And that's another exploited type person.
And even
child
after
labor, all that.
Well, and even though, like, you know, they're like the underappreciated exploited workers, the monkey, he's the exploited, underappreciated, like nobody appreciates the chimp. Like nobody remembers like Lassie's real fucking name. You know, there's like six dogs that played Lassie. And
cared who Lassie was till she put on the mask.
Exactly. You know, so like the monkey's underappreciated. Steven Yeun as a child star is underappreciated and cast aside. Now he's doing this little show where he thinks because he had this connection with this monkey, he can connect with this sky jellyfish. And, you know, he looks it in the eye and then feels Gwyneth Paltrow's wrath. And then, like, even still, though, even though OJ and his sister are animal trainers and they're the underappreciated, rather than respecting the alien, they're trying to exploit the alien for their own personal gain. So they're just as bad. And so there's this whole, like, dynamic of, like, even if you're underappreciated and used in Hollywood, you're still just trying to get yourself over and, like, use other people. So it's like this cyclical, yeah, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, and it does, I think it is. That was definitely in there, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it was something part of the conversation that Sophia had right after the movie too. But I think those themes hang together, you know, because like you said, you have, it's a love letter to the people that make the film actually happen that aren't in the movie. You know what I mean? It's the technical aspect, and like you said, that by the end of this movie, you've got like the whole thing with voyeurism and with cameras. You've got the hand cranked camera. That's not gonna be influenced by an electromagnetic pulse, right? Oh, and I'll get to that with the fucking cinematographer.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got the fucking surveillance cameras,
You know what I mean? And then you got TMZ guy showing up with his fucking...
with his electro scooter.
Like, he's from a Daft Punk fucking concert. And you know, he's getting scooped up into the fucking thing like, my camera!
Well, see, and those are all different things. Like, that cinematographer, the one that sacrificed... He's literally sacrificing himself for the perfect shot. He runs up on that hill knowing that he's going to die, but his art will live on years after he's gone.
That's what he says on the phone. And then what's crazy. Him, I love what Peel's saying there, because the TMZ guy, he's not making art, right?
No, those are the guys that come in and they just try to, like, they're basically the YouTube stars that come in, want to make these cheap, like, low quality content and just, like,
get a bunch of views. But the cinematographer's like, I'm trying to get the perfect thing.
Yep.
Well, you're both cucked with spectacle, because they're both just being, like, hypnotized by the idea, because TMZ isn't
they're both trying to get themselves over.
Yeah, you're both just trying to get sucked. You're both getting sucked into the spectacle and dying in the middle of the process.
Yeah, the cinematographer doesn't sacrifice himself to tell the story. He sacrifices himself so that his art will far surpass him and live on long after he's gone.
I think it says something about art and the artist, right? Because, like, you know, the cinematographer is willing to feed himself to the spaceship for the art, and is okay with sacrificing himself, and is, you know, and I
think it's ultimately saying that objectively in the scheme of the universe, like in a Zen way, they're the same. Like, you both just want to fucking get this on film. You're both getting cucked.
Well, then, I mean,
by the fucking awe.
I guess but I don't want to.
It's for their own ends. Like, exactly. You know, the
it doesn't matter what
cinematographer is trying to, like, have his name live on through his art, while the TMZ guy is just trying to, like, make a quick buck. You know, like,
you're dressing up.
I doubt he's trying to get the fame.
It's also exploring, like, which of the two is more noble, to speak, right? Like, if we're just doing it for money, then it's not art. But if it's art and you're sacrificing yourself, then it was worth it.
But if you're doing it...
The movie, too. Is this, like, just a fun summer movie, or is it art?
And also, are you doing it for art, or are you doing it so that you're remembered?
Right.
So that's the thing. And if you're doing it so that you're remembered, are you any better than the guy who's just doing it to make money? Which, you know, OJ and his sister are ultimately doing it to make money. Like, and they're doing it, you know, for their own means. It's like to save
their own legacy.
It's like to save the ranch. Well, that's the thing. They're doing it for the money. They're doing it to get famous, and they're doing it to save the ranch. So they're doing it for their own reasons, but they're also not respecting the talent. Essentially, they're not like respect. You know, OJ is the only
swept up in the same system as everybody.
OJ is the only one that does. He realizes who the star is, and he's like, his sister's the one that's like, let's buy these cameras and all this other shit, and OJ's like, I know who the star is, I know my place, like, don't look at it. Like,
you said that a perfect time, because I want to talk about his characterization, which is he's a very quiet character.
Yeah,
he's a very observant character in a non-eye contact type of way, a very introverted character, and he plays it perfectly. And he's written, it's almost like I thought I was going to come in here almost and one of you might say he was underwritten, but he was perfectly written and perfectly acted.
Well, I think there was
I almost got the feeling that
No, I think you're right, Matt. Intuitively, he understands this process.
Like, well, he knows his role. Like, I know,
like, he named him the fucking horse his dad was talking about.
Well, and if you notice, like, his dad always kind of took control of every situation, and he kind of just followed and did what he was told. Like, he was confident, but he followed his dad. He followed orders. He was not a yes man, but he was, he was a worker, not a leader.
I think his sister
wanted to even just be a worker.
I don't want to characterize it too much, but I think that his mannerisms are very much someone who's on the spectrum. They know, like,
oh, you think,
but possibly, I don't know. It because he's very, like, see, like you were saying, he's very, like, very awkward in social situations,
I think he was highly introverted.
Well, I think a lot of it happened too. I think there was a change after his.
Everyone's on the spectrum.
I think there was a change after his dad died, like, because he didn't seem that quiet and that reserved until after his dad died. You know, his dad was kind of like his captain. He had the security
that much before,
right? But he wasn't as quiet. He wasn't as, like, look at the ground. And then the juxtaposition of him and his sister, where it's like his sister always wanted to be included and the dad never really included her. Like, they pushed her aside and ruined his relationship with his daughter so he could go work on Scorpion King. Like, the dad sacrificed his relationship with his daughter so he could get himself over. So once again, there's, like, this whole level of, like, not appreciating the people that are putting in the work to make you great. And so like when he dies, OJ's like very sad and just stoic, but his sister is still like dancing and like, hey, let's live life. So they're handling it differently. And so that's why, like, spoiler, I think at the end of the movie, OJ's dead. Because you kind of get this idea that, like, you know, he gets caught up in this big like dust cloud, and then you see the silhouette of him beyond the sign that says out yonder, which, like, you know, I think that's a little nod, like he's shuffled off this mortal coil, he's out there in the ether now, and like his sister,
that's the archetypal essence of it. Because also the first shot of the movie, by the way, I don't know if you noticed the symmetry there, is the black dude on the horse. The last shot of the movie is a black dude on a horse. But it was in the first shot, it was the one where the original first fucking motion picture film. And at the end there, so it's coming full circle about film history there too. But it's also kind of like that whole, you're right, that trope of riding off into the sunset, so to speak.
Well, right? And now, like, you know, her brother is now her defeating the alien. Her defeating the alien at the end, especially with it being named Jean Jacket being the name of the horse that initially she was supposed to train. That's
why he was adamant on that. He's like, it's Jean Jacket. His name is Jean Jacket.
And that, like, I thought that was a little cute because they make the point, like, when they're showing she was supposed to be the one that trained it. And then it's like, oh, the dad, you know, took control of Jean Jacket so he could do the Scorpion King. And then it's like, as soon as...
What a weird sentence you just said.
I love it. You can tell he loves it too.
As soon as they named the alien Jean Jacket, I'm like, okay, well, the girl's going to be the one to train him. Like that, or not train him, but, you know, tame him. That's going to be the thing. Yeah. And then at the end, when she defeats him, she's like finally getting her power. She's discovering her own internal strength that she can do things on her own. And that's why her brother's dead. But he's kind of just like this vision that's now watching over her.
I think whether he is or isn't, I think what you're saying makes sense and is meaningful. I think either way, you get what I'm saying? He could be alive literally, or he could be alive figuratively out yonder. And his essence is there, and that's what she's looking at.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think
ultimately this is a movie that knows it's a movie. So the characters,
Jordan Peele's very deliberate in like everything he does.
This is like even more than the other two movies. This is like Jordan Peele through the looking glass now, because it's a movie about movies again.
Yeah,
now it's his first movie actually about movies.
Well,
you know, there's that aspect to it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's got that going
on. And it's so, not that it's like, oh, it's so risky, but it you know, if it gets too self-referential without backing it up, it comes off.
You mean if you advertise an alien too much without giving us a fucking alien? Because I was really worried there wasn't going to be an alien. I was really fucking worried.
Well, the fake out scene in the barn too, like you said with the kids.
Oh, yes, let's talk about that. Holy shit, dude, I love that scene. Cuz when that first fucking kid stood up, I was like, "Oh my god, that scared the shit out of me." And
that's
staying
on the shot.
See, when that's what I was saying. So like,
there's that Japanese movie I told you about, Pulse, that I want to watch.
Yep.
There's a scene with the slow fucking stand up. It's like,
so that's what I was referring to, is like when he's got his phone out and he's trying to film this alien, and it's like right on the corner, and you're like, I know the alien's right on the other side of that corner.
Right.
When are they going to come out? And you're expecting the jump scare, but it's like the reveal was so slow that like the tension just builds. And you know, we've been doing this show almost 10 fucking years. I've sat across you once a week for all of my 30s. You know, I love tension. And that shit was tense. I'm like, ooh.
That's why we didn't like the sadness, because that shit had no tension.
This fool's going to jump out, or like something's going to happen. And then they do the real slow reveal, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that was creepy. And then he kind of just turns, and there's the other one hanging upside down.
The part that I love the most about that scene is that, like, you have all that tension, and you have like what's legitimately kind of like a spooky scene. And then ultimately it's bullshit.
It's a limp dick.
Which is fucking great.
It's so good. I love it.
Well, it's the ultimate in self-referential, because it's about the process, not the actual thing. Like, it wasn't an alien. It's not a monster. It's about tension. It's about how to build a scene and scene composition and build a he builds suspense, and it culminates, and it's a fucking joke.
Yep.
Which is also how humor works. Well, humor works with tension.
You know, when he gave you what you wanted and then made fun of you for wanting it and not actually getting it.
When he hits the fucking one guy in the head, that's when
you're dying. I'm like, he punched the fucking alien.
He beat the fucking kid and he has a black eye the next scene or a bloody nose. Yeah. Dude, that scene reminded me of, I don't know if you guys remember.
When he kicked the fucking alien.
Actually, when they ate all the people at the horse show, dude, that was fire in the sky.
It reminded me of that scene in Signs where, you know, they're showing that like home video of the party and the alien kind of slides over.
Yep.
But
way more creepily done.
Far better. Yeah, like, dude. Done far, far better. And then ultimately it's like these three kids and it's like, fuck, dude, you got me.
Dude, see, once I found like the Hollywood metaphor for everything, like I just saw it everywhere. Like the beginning where all of the metal falls out, it's like, okay, well, the alien can eat people, but then it shits out the non-biological material just the way that Hollywood chews up and spits people out, you know?
Also, like, and then, balloons. Like
what about the balloons?
They have the fucking guys.
Dude, that idea was smart.
It is smart. And also, it reminds me, when you were talking about the sentence you said earlier, and Jorge pointed out what a silly-ass sentence it was about the Scorpion King.
Yeah.
The movie's like that. And then there's a scene with the cinematographer, and he sees the guy on a horseback leading the fucking monster in the sky through this road, this wide road with the fucking blowy guys. And he's getting this shot, and he's like, how wonderfully stupid is that? And it is like what a stupid ass thing to be looking at.
Those fucking inflatable guys, like, you know, when we got the first trailer,
yeah,
and I was like,
how the fuck
is this going to make sense? And I had it in my head. I go, no, it's gonna be something like, they represent fucking, but nope, they literally use them as like a fucking minefield. So good.
Well, let's think about what it is, because it goes. I wasn't gonna go there, but you came there. Like, you came, dude.
You came, dude.
I'm always, just I'm like always the ship, coming, dude.
When it comes and it spews all the other shit it doesn't need. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's waste. And it is like Hollywood, because it spits out all the other shit, yeah. And it hurts people when it does that.
It takes what it wants and it spits everything.
And it hurts other. It hurts. And now, but. What, like, the freaking balloon thing, it is a kind of a genuine theme, because then there's a fucking cowboy balloon that the thing interprets as another sky entity, which is fucking...
It wants to fuck it.
And also, when I saw that, this is a scene, too, where I'm like, is this dumb, or is this, like, super fucking brilliant?
Bro, it's a metaphor. Like, what killed the alien, ultimately, was being full of hot air.
And that's what I told Sophia, because it's like, and what are those things? These things, why do we have them? It's to get attention.
Yep.
It's about spectacle.
It's
people couldn't see it because this is an audio show. Well, but he was waving his arms like a madman.
Those things represent the adoring fans.
And it's like that empty spectacle. It's full of hot air.
How did you guys interpret? So it obviously, like,
it's a distraction. Dude.
It sucks up.
That too. Food, well, the fans are the distraction.
Yeah.
It sucks up its food, right? And then it's expels.
Remind me to come back to that.
What it doesn't need, right?
Uh-huh.
Sort of. And then it has its period.
Inorganic material.
That's what I was going to talk to you about. So, like, so it eats up fucking everyone.
It has Crohn's disease, rodeo. Like me, dude.
Why does it puke up all the blood? What's going on there? Because, like, when...
I don't know, but I liked it.
The scene where the dad dies, it's just coins and keys and other metal bullshit. But when it's on the house, do you think it's like, I'm marking you up? Like, this is how...
It might be. It might just be marking its territory.
Yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
I might have missed that part. I did go to the bathroom for a part. It was right when they took the footage to the cinematographer. No,
so it's when they go to the house, that when they're...
And it's hovering it's, over
it's
the
raining,
thing,
and it's just raining. Fucking... Blood starts
falling out of the windows.
I see. I must have missed that. I don't remember. I don't remember blood.
You know what? I'm so happy, because I thought I'd come here and you were going to be like, that part was cool. And you didn't even see that part.
No, I think
like,
I missed
the
that.
The only thing I could think
you
is
would
that,
like that. You know what that reminded me of? By it was War of the Worlds.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So I was wondering if even this being, you know, this like quote unquote like UFO, whatever, is also capable of I don't want to say like being dumb, but maybe it's like it just ate too fucking many people and it had to
might have had a tummy ache.
Because it did. It ate the horse and it fucking had to hork it up, the plastic horse.
So we were talking about the
missed that part?
I must have.
That's crazy.
I don't remember
it might have been like the shot of the movie.
I remember there being rain, but I don't remember it being blood.
There was blood it came on the windows and everything.
I had another thought about the wacky waving arm flailing inflatable tube men.
The distraction.
So like not even a distraction, but more as the
prestige.
Like, you know, they represent the to me, they like represented the adoring fan. You know, they're standing there, they're like basically waving their arms at the celebrity at this entity. Yeah, at BTS, you know, they're the adoring fans. And it's like they look like and they symbolize people, and the celebrity, the BTS, the alien, thinks that like, oh, these are people. This is what I need. It's this is really what I want. This human. This is what I can feed off of. This energy.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they're hollow because they're not real. You know. So like, hey, Matt, it's like this is what I need.
Too much into
yeah. This come
movie,
on, dude. You're going.
This is what I. This is what far, I need bro. Here. But it's like ultimately, it's nothing there. I'm not going to get fulfilled from these wacky arm flailing, waving inflatable tube men.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's dope.
That's definitely, I mean, it's there. And if it's not there, you interpreted it, so it's there now.
We haven't even spoken about it, but the film also explores the idea of bad miracles.
Is there a word? What's a bad miracle? Is there a word for that? Good line.
On top of everything else, did I just get you on? Okay, sorry. On top of everything else that explores, like the idea of a miracle being a bad thing, is just the subtlety of being able to handle that idea without like jamming it down your fucking throat.
Well, it goes with that idea of spectacle again too, and awe. You know what I mean? Because awe, like the
spectacle,
is a neutral term. Like awe can be terrifying, or it's transfixing. You're kind of immobilized when you're in awe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I... So you briefly mentioned it about the shoe.
Yeah, what the...
The shoe's like the one thing I don't get.
It's so deliberate, which means it's not stupid.
They show it to
you. What if it's just to fucking get you to do this?
Because even when they put it in the case, like it's still held in the same position.
Why does he keep it from... he was fixated on that. And
That's because he's a child star, so he's holding on to all of his memories. And like that's...
Out of curiosity, are you about to mention trauma?
Well, that yes. So
that's where okay.
It's both to me. So I after you know
weaponized the
watching the film and kind of crunching it in my brain movies for a couple of days. So I think that shoe in particular is just the way he remembers it in his mind, because if you look at that fucking scene, it's almost
unreliable narrative. It's almost very subjective.
It's almost magical the way that scene looks.
Yeah.
If you look out in the audience, there's a couple people that are like there's a couple people that are moving. It's just it feels so goddamn surreal that I wonder if.
And the sign is flashing saying applause.
He hyper-focuses on this one little detail, and that's the thing that he's kind of brought forth with him. Like, that I feel like the shoe is very representative of the trauma.
It's funny that Rhett says unreliable narrator because, like, it made me think of, like, the scene where they do eat everyone at the rodeo because, like, you call him an unreliable narrator. Well, yeah, he's a child at this point. He's a child star. And this is like 30, 40 years in the future that the present is happening. Right. So he's going to have misremembered a lot of things.
And that happens anyway with memory.
So if I'm looking
at
the alien as like Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, like I see this other thing as like he remembers having this relationship with this monkey. Like he had this mind meld with the monkey, chimp. So like he must be able to have it with this alien. So to me, it's like this child star who's now grown up still wants the spotlight addressing this older, like bigger star trying to be like, hey, can you get me a gig? He brings his old co-star with him. He brings his entourage with him.
Horrifying like, moment. It's just, and I'll continue to add on to this idea. And another thing that sort of fascinated me was when he thinks about this scene, he's almost he's almost like nostalgic and romanticizing it, because when he's talking about the SNL skit, he's like, oh man,
he's on Chris Kattan's dick.
He doesn't ever say and it was awful. He's like, yeah, no man, and
it brought Chris up so much trauma.
Chris Kattan was a fucking great chimp.
And, yeah, so and so played me.
Well, because it's his claim to fame is this tragedy.
It is. Well, he's a child star, and like his star got burnt out at a very young age. Corey, so he's got me. Well, Corey at least had work going. Well, no, but I mean, yeah, still Corey Feldman had work growing up, so he's not just stuck on this one thing, you know? Like, well, River Phoenix is dead, but he might just be like, "Hey, remember when I did Stand By Me? By Me was dope." Corey Haim is also dead.
Oh.
You know, but like, you damn know, well, Punky Brewster, though, like the Soleil Moon
she's
Frye,
an old white bitch.
She probably is like, "Hey, remember when I was Punky Brewster? You know, it's the same shit. Like, this guy is doing, hey, remember when I was Screech? You know, before I gave that girl a Dirty Sanchez?" That's what he's doing. He was like, "I was a child star. This is all I have because, like, nobody would hire me after
all
this.
All I got was this dumb shirt.
All I got was this PTSD.
Dumb floaty shoe."
Whole chimp scene, fuck, dude. The fact that they allude to it at the beginning, but, like, they don't even have to show it to you because they play enough audio that your brain connects the dots and it's already horrific in your head.
Yeah.
And then, like, they give you little by little by little until they're just
he's
like...
He's eating her face.
Yeah, dude.
That's the scene
at
the beginning where I mentioned that's my favorite scene in the genre this year so far. And it's a fucking masterful scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. There's so much stuff. We've said it a few times now in different ways. There's so much stuff in this movie that it has every fucking likelihood to just be an incoherent mess. And it's not, you know? And not only is it not, but, like, that scene is, like, a fucking masterful sequence. But even, like, these ideas on paper, it's kind of like, well, where are you getting this shit? Like, why this monkey scene? And why this? And why this? But it all hangs together.
Yep.
You mentioned something about the bad miracle going into this conversation, right? It's weird because I'm doing these books on tape, like I mentioned, and
are they actually on tape?
Well, it's audiobooks.
Okay,
shut up.
I was like, "Where'd you find a tape player?"
I have a cassette.
He's like, "I read books on microfiche, dude."
But I get Cliff's Notes. No, well, now they have this thing called Blinkist, which is like Cliff's Notes.
You're a Blinkist,
which is dope. Anyway, one of them though, it talks about trauma, and it's right after I saw this movie, and it's talking about trauma and how there is no opposite word for trauma. And basically, it's an amazing thing that in the language, what that signifies is there is no event in that has the effect on the human brain in a positive sense.
As much as trauma.
Yeah. And there is no positive event that will leave as indelible an impression on the organism, with a central nervous system, particularly a human, as trauma.
What about coming?
So when they talk about what's a bad miracle, is there a name for that? And it's kind of like, you know, what if it's the closest analog might be trauma?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's this just remarkable.
Yeah, you're event. Right. Because like one evident trauma in your life can dictate the way you.
It permanently marks you, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and why bring that up in the fucking thing? And then it relates to the shoe thing. And also, it hangs back, too, with, like, when you guys are talking about his character and her character, her reaction, like, as soon as they go upstairs and talk to the Asian guy, the Korean fellow, who is probably playing a China person. Wait, the China virus? No, but
Jesus Christ.
The Chinese flu. Isn't that what he said?
The China flu?
Yeah. But anyway, fucking, OJ's trying to fucking talk to this guy and talk about the stuff at hand, and she's immediately gets fixated on all the stuff there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's kind of like, again, like, I don't think the guy's so much on the spectrum as it's like, this is a textbook example. I think it's all the stuff you mentioned, but there's an introverted brother who's understated, and he's got his loud, extroverted, super social, super charming sister. Like, when the movie starts, it's like he's going to have a hard time shooting this thing they're trying to do. And she shows up, and it's like, it's a perfect character introduction because it shows you the dichotomy between the two characters perfectly.
And it also explores the, I mean, because obviously, like, as you know, as an introvert myself, like you see that character and you're like, fucking annoying ass sister, right? But
a little bit, yeah.
But it also explores her end of things where she's like, I have to be an extrovert to get attention, the attention that I need to grow. She fine.
Well, and then what else was happening around that scene too is like, you know, it felt like
Matt, she fine.
She all right.
She cute. And she wants to fuck too. She's like, what's up, girl? I'm like, dang, that's cool. That's cool.
Did she say what's up, girl?
Yeah, yeah. Like when they're going through fries, she was like, I'm gonna call you later.
Oh, damn.
So it was a cool little moment.
Normalize it. Damn. Normalize heterosexual butt fucking.
Well, in this end, it's
yeah, well, whatever.
Normalize women telling people how attractive they are in public. Do that. That was fun.
Stop it.
Stop it. Get some fucking help, man. Dope.
She's like, you're a very handsome man. I'm like, thank you.
And you are a treacherous hoe.
Yeah.
Is that a wedding ring?
Treacherous.
Well, never mind. Go on.
It's like, oh, you got bangs? No, thanks. Oh, yeah. So, like, you know, they had that whole like relationship at the beginning. Like, where it's like they're on the set, and then when they realize that the dad's not there, everybody starts to get like really uncomfortable, you know. And I felt like that was kind of like, you know, some of these people are okay kind of thing. Like, but now we have this new one we have to deal with in Hollywood, and then the sister comes in, and you notice like everybody else on the film set was white, and they're all uncomfortable with like OJ being there, and Hollywood, bro, Hollywood. And then the main lady's that old wife. I really wanted that horse to fucking kick somebody's head off. And then it just like kicks some lady's tray.
That shit was great. Because I was like, yeah, that's right.
I was like, somebody's going to get kicked.
That's what you get. You
don't get kicked in your face.
Don't look at him in the eyes.
Look him in the eye. It's dope. Treat animals with respect before you eat them.
Yeah. Or just don't eat them.
Or don't eat them.
I mean, like, but they're good.
And if you do eat them, don't wipe out like a whole fucking range of buffalo just to get their fucking hides and then like mass produce fucking animals just so you can have a burger every fucking day of your life. And then you're going to meet the demand of 8 billion people every day on a global scale. And it's just not going to work. And also, Jorge, don't get fucking Shamu and take him from his fucking habitat and put him in a fucking swimming pool for your own amusement.
Yeah, he's been against Sophia since Blackfish, dude.
Exactly. Since before it was cool. And I really have, though. Since Star Trek 4 as a kid, I'm out, dude. I'm like, what are we doing? What? And it's like, oh, well, I love animals. That's why. You love animals, so you kidnap them and put them in a fucking cage so you can feel good about yourself? Fuck you. You deserve to get eaten alive by a fucking sky kaiju and compressed and blood fucking everywhere. That's what you deserve. But nonetheless, I ate meat for most of my life, so.
And this man's did just eat eggs.
That's true.
Shut up. So,
those are chicken embryos.
I know.
And compressed in your guts.
It's because it's hard to get rid of that. You need that B12. You know how much B12 egg whites have?
How much?
Zero.
That sucks.
You need the fucking yolk. You need the child.
Yeah. You need that adrenochrome.
The adrenochrome.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah. See, if you don't cook the eggs, if you just crack them raw into your mouth, that's how you get that good
ripoff, dude.
Untainted adrenochrome.
Like, you literally, there is no B12 in egg whites. And that's what was needed here, assholes. Like, what are they doing?
Take some pills, dude.
All right. Well, that was pretty good. Anything before we wrap this up, gentlemen?
No, that was, I had a good time. I'm highly glad you guys liked it.
Highly recommend this film. Go see it in theater before it leaves.
Would you say it's, I mean.
I did see it in IMAX.
So did I.
Same.
And it was shot in IMAX. Oh, and did you guys see the Oppenheimer?
I did.
Okay. So, bro, fuck that.
What?
Fuck that. So, like, it did all the trailers.
That's Nolan. You know why he did that, right?
Wait.
Go
so,
for it.
So, it did all the trailers, and then it did fucking Nicole Kidman. Pain feels good here. No, it doesn't, bitch. Shut up. You've never been to a theater in your life. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, the movie's starting, and then I'm like, there's something weird going on. I'm going to have such a hard time keeping track of this.
I'm in the wrong movie.
And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then it's like, Oppenheimer. And I'm like, oh. Why is there a trailer? I thought this was the movie. What the fuck?
When it's all, I am become death, and he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it showed the quote at the beginning, and I'm like...
And the clock's ticking.
How is this aliens? Like, I don't get it. Yeah, it's like 1 year, you know, until the event, and I'm like... What event? Like, we know of an event that's coming? Like,
he got you, dude.
Dude, like, I was so mad. I was like, why are they showing me this fucking trailer now? Guess what? I'm never watching this movie now.
Well, because it's totally, you interpreted Nope, right? And so interpret, like, why, and this is when someone was mentioning, do you think the director cuts the trailer? Yes. And not only that, but Nolan decided where the trailer goes. Because he's like, look, everyone is used to seeing the trailers and waiting for them to be over and seeing this and seeing this, and then they get into movie mode and like go to sleep.
Well, and you know, right? they know too, like him and Jordan Peele were like, dude, this shit would be brilliant.
Fuck yeah.
So like they're like, yeah, we're gonna do the Nicole Kidman thing, then drop your trailer, then we start the
movie. Yeah, because they are both at Universal. They're both Universal boys now.
Yeah.
And they're both, honestly, they're among the only kind of two directors where you can like market a movie with very obscure marketing for a year based upon the name of the director. In the middle of summer, too. By the way, I think it's fucking hilarious. He's dropping this movie a year to the day that Nope came out. In the middle of summer.
Nope.
Or what? Nope what?
You said the year that Nope came out.
Yeah. The year to the day that Nope came out, Oppenheimer's coming out.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Right, so he owns that weekend next year, like Peele had it this year. But the same weekend, it's going up against Barbie. So your options are to see fucking Barbie or a movie about the guy who created the atomic bomb.
Barbie, thank you.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, what kind of maniac drops a movie like that in the middle of summer of blockbuster? Like, I love it. I love the fucking audacity of him. And if it beats Barbie that weekend, like, I can't tell you what kind of celebration I'm going to have. But it's gonna. You get what I'm saying, Jorge?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which one are you gonna see that weekend, Barbie or Oppenheimer? I'm
not gonna see Barbie, dude. Not a chance.
Oh come on, Gosling.
I'll go see it with you, dude.
No, after The Gray Man.
You watched it? Hold up.
No more Gosling.
Amendum.
Addendum.
Addendum. Amendum.
Amendum.
Affrendum. Agendum.
Agendum.
No, I went. I got 20 minutes in and I cut.
What did I tell
it's
you?
So bad.
You thought I was being weird, huh? I could tell you thought I was being like goofy
no,
about it.
No, no. I had heard enough where I was like,
it was fucking
bad.
Awful.
Yeah, dude. I'm gonna need a break. I'm gonna need a Gosling break.
And I was wrong. It's $200 million.
That's crazy.
A $200 million fucking
bore fest.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
All right. Well, dude. That's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 360. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us, whether it be on your drive to work, from work, when you're trying to fall asleep,
or while you're having hot dog time.
This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Ree. Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.